J.C. Ryle's Devotional Thoughts on the Gospel of Luke, Section 121, Signs of the End of the Age, Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which you behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draws near. Go you not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Let us notice in this passage our Lord Jesus Christ's words about the temple at Jerusalem. We read that some spoke of it, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts. They praised it for its outward beauty. They admired its size, its architectural grandeur, and its costly decorations. But they met with no response from our Lord. We read that he said, As for what you see, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. These words were a striking prophecy. An English mind can hardly conceive how strange and startling they must have sounded to Jewish ears. They were spoken of a building which every Israelite regarded with almost idolatrous veneration. They were spoken of a building which contained the Ark, the Holy of Holies, and the symbolic furniture formed on a pattern given by God Himself. They were spoken of a building associated with most of the principal names in Jewish history, with David, Solomon, Hezekiah, Josiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, and Nehemiah. They were spoken of a building toward which every devout Jew turned his face in every quarter of the world when he offered up his daily prayers. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 44, Jonah chapter 2, verse 4, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. But they were words spoken advisedly. They were spoken in order to teach us the mighty truth that the true glory of a place of worship does not consist in outward ornaments. The Lord does not see as man sees, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Man looks at the outward appearance of a building. The Lord looks for spiritual worship and the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the temple at Jerusalem, these things were utterly lacking, and therefore Jesus Christ could take no pleasure in it. Professing Christians will do well to remember our Lord's words in the present day. It is fit and right, beyond doubt, that buildings set apart for Christian worship should be worthy of the purpose for which they are used. Whatever is done for Christ ought to be well done. The house in which the gospel is preached and the word of God read and prayer offered up ought to lack nothing that can make it lovely and substantial. But let it never be forgotten that the material part of a Christian church is by far the least important part of it. The fairest combinations of marble and stone and wood and painted glass are worthless in God's sight unless there is truth in the pulpit and grace in the congregation. The dens and caves in which the early Christians used to meet were far more beautiful in the eyes of Christ than the noblest cathedral that was ever reared by man. The temple in which the Lord Jesus delights most is a broken and contrite heart, renewed by the Holy Spirit. Let us notice for another thing in this passage, our Lord Jesus Christ's solemn warning against deception. His striking words about the temple drew from his disciples an important question. "Master, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" Our Lord's reply to that question was long and full, and it began with a pointed caution. "Take heed that you are not deceived." The position which this caution occupies is very remarkable. It stands in the forefront of a prophecy of vast extent and universal importance to all Christians, a prophecy reaching from the day in which it was delivered to the day of the second coming, a prophecy revealing matters of the most tremendous interest both to Jews and Gentiles, and a prophecy of which a large portion remains to be fulfilled. And the very first sentence of this wondrous prophecy is a caution against deception. "Take heed that you are not deceived." The necessity of this caution has been continually proved in the history of the Church of Christ. On no subject, perhaps, have divines made so many mistakes as in the interpretation of unfulfilled prophecy. On no subject have they shown so completely the weakness of man's intellect, and confirmed so thoroughly the words of Paul, "We now see indistinctly, as in a mirror. Now we know in part." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Dogmatism, positiveness, controversial bitterness, obstinacy in maintaining untenable positions, rash assertions and speculations have too often brought discredit on the whole subject of the prophetic scriptures and caused the enemies of Christianity to blaspheme. There are only too many books on prophetic interpretation, on the title pages of which might be justly written, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" Let us learn from our Lord's warning words to pray for a humble, teachable spirit whenever we open the pages of unfulfilled prophecy. Here, if anywhere, we need the heart of a little child and the prayer, "Open my eyes." Psalm 119, verse 18. Let us beware, on the one side, of that lazy indifference which turns away from all prophetic scripture on account of its difficulties. Let us beware, on the other side, of that dogmatic and arrogant spirit which makes men forget that they are students and talk as confidently as if they were prophets themselves. Above all, let us read prophetic scripture with a thorough conviction that the study carries with it a blessing, and that more light may be expected on it every year. The promise remains in full force: "Blessed is he who reads. At the time of the end, the vision shall be unsealed."